We come to you again with our studies in the Gospel through Luke, and we just pray that the Lord may make the truth very, very precious and very real to your hearts. I trust that you are reading this Gospel through over and over and over again. Now we're in the 17th chapter of this wonderful Gospel through Luke. We've been dealing especially with the Lord's ministry in a brief space of time from chapter 14, and it runs right down to chapter 17, verse 10. And it could have been all in one day, where he discusses things with the Pharisees and scribes, and then with publicans and sinners, and then with the disciples. Now we come to this passage in chapter 17, 1 to 10, where he's exhorting his disciples concerning their walk before God. And he deals with four definite things. He talks about offenses, about forgiveness, about faith, and about pride in service. And I think this is very apropos today, especially for those of us who claim the name of the Savior. Allow me to read the first two verses, which have to do with offenses. Then he said unto the disciples, "It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones." Now you remember that as long as we are in the world, offenses will come. But that's no excuse for us to offend people. In fact, he makes it very serious in verse 2. "Be far better to be cast into the sea, be drowned, than to face the woe of God." You remember in Romans 2:24, if I may refresh your memory, the name of God was blasphemed among the Gentiles because of the actions and lives of the Jews. Just like today, sometime, I believe, here and there, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is blasphemed by the unbelievers because of the lives of the children of God. It's a shame, isn't it, that our Savior should be cursed and blasphemed because of the actions and the lives and the attitude of Christians. May God grant that you and I will not cause the name of Christ to be blasphemed, or that people should stumble. You remember the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, "Give offense to no man, to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God." You see, there are three groups there. In fact, there are just three groups in the world today: the Jew, the Gentile, and the church of God. Three definite groups. And we are not to offend or give offense to any one of them. And then a little, in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul speaks a little more definitely concerning our relationship, the one to the other. And I'm thinking of Romans chapter 14, verses 13 and 21, where we are not to cause our brother to stumble by the things we do. In fact, he's very strong when he said, "If I were to eat meat, and by eating meat I would offend my brother, I will not eat meat as long as the world standeth." Now you might say there's nothing wrong in eating meat. There isn't. There isn't. But if it's going to cause some weaker brother to stumble, then let's give up the meat for the cause of our brother. And as I said a moment ago, far better be drowned than to face the woe of God. You see, the Lord Jesus here went behind the fall or the stumble to the one who caused it. Now mark what he is saying. The one who causes someone else to stumble is more guilty in the sight of God than the one who stumbles. You and I may cause someone to stumble and then we'll criticize them for stumbling, failing to realize that God holds us responsible for the stumbling. You see, the Lord is getting right down behind that which we see. He's getting right down into your heart. And I want to say very frankly, that when we cause other Christians especially to stumble, especially young Christians, how often some young Christians say, well, if Mr. So-and-so can do it, I can do it. And so we ought to be very careful about how we speak, how we act, lest we cause some weak believer or some young believer to stumble. And remember, God holds us responsible when they stumble. That is, if we cause the stumbling. And then in the next two verses, verses 3 and 4, he teaches his disciples about forgiveness or the need for a forgiving spirit. Now, these are practical things. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you seven times in one day, and seven times in that day he turns again and says to you, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now, I read that last verse, the fifth verse, for the simple reason, the connection between repentance or forgiveness and increasing our faith. Now, here is the need for a forgiving spirit. Now, if a brother causes you to stumble, and then you come along and confess, you repent concerning the thing you've done, forgive him. Now, these are connected. You remember in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the apostle writes, and be ye tender-hearted, kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, the Lord did this for us, didn't he? In 1 John 2:12, my little children, you know that your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. In Ephesians 1:7, we have forgiveness according to the riches of his grace. Now, how does the Lord forgive us? Every time we come and confess it. You remember 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You mean to tell me that every time I come to the Lord and confess, that he forgives me and cleanses me? That's right. But may I just suggest this? You must mean business when you confess. You know, I've heard people, and I say it very frankly, I've heard Christians say, oh, well, I'll just need to confess this and the Lord will forgive me and go out and do it again. And as one young student said to me, what shall I do when I find myself doing it again? I go out, go back to the Lord and confess it. As often as you sin, you go back and confess it to the Lord. And don't wait until you're getting ready to get into bed. The moment you sin, that very moment that you realize that you've sinned, your fellowship is broken, you can't afford to live any further that day until you come, confess your sin, and be cleansed from all unrighteousness and enjoy fellowship with God. And you know, I remember an incident in the life of Mr. Spurgeon of London, a great London British preacher. He used to go down the Strand, what we would call the Broadway. He'd go down the Strand in London, and he was seen to stop right in the middle of the crowd as they were walking down the street. He would stop, people passing on both sides, take his hat off and bow his head, then put his hat on again and keep on going. Well, this came to the attention of the deacons of his church, and they became quite alarmed about it. They wondered if something was happening to Mr. Spurgeon, if he was going off his head. For a man to walk down the street and stop and take his hat off and bow his head, close his eyes, and then put his hat back on and go on about his business, something wrong with him. So one of them plucked up courage and said, Mr. Spurgeon, we're concerned about you. He said, why are you concerned? Then he related this incident. Why, said Mr. Spurgeon, my friend, my brother, as I was walking down the street, I came to the knowledge that my fellowship with God was broken. And I couldn't afford to take one further step till I asked my Father what I had done to break the fellowship. Had I heard something through the ear gate and retained it? Had I seen something which stirred up some desire in my heart and life? So I asked the Lord what it was. It was made known to me. I confessed it. He forgave me, cleansed me. I thanked him, put my hat on, and went on about my business. Now, don't you do that. I mean, don't you go down the street and do that. Don't try and imitate anybody. What I'm after here was the consciousness of the realization that his intimate fellowship with God was broken. And the one thing that breaks our fellowship with God is sin. And he gives to us the remedy for it. I'm talking to Christians. The unsaved man or woman goes to the cross and accepts Jesus Christ as the Savior. And the moment you put your trust in the Savior as a sinner, he forgives you every sin, cleanses you from all unrighteousness. That's a matter of relationship. But now Christians are like here with the disciples. And their relationship with the Lord was established. The question was fellowship. And if a brother comes to you and he offends you, what shall you do? If he repents, you forgive him. How long do you expect the Lord to forgive you? Why, you say, every time I confess, and I mean business with the Lord, I confess my sin, he's promised to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. How often? As often as you come. Forgiveness for the believer is based on repentance, on confession. Now, I'm not going to argue with you about the question of repentance and confession and forgiveness. I'm just saying very frankly, when we deal with sinners, men and women who are not saved, young people who are not saved, we point them to the Savior, that Jesus Christ died to put away their sin, and that they have forgiveness according to the riches of his grace. They're forgiven for Christ's sake. They're forgiven for his name's sake. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. But for a Christian, one who is a child of God, it's not a question of salvation. It's a question of fellowship. And sin breaks that fellowship, and we confess our sins to my Father. And he forgives me, not because he loves me so much, but he forgives me because he's righteous. When it comes to the question of sin, even for a believer, we are still dealing with a righteous God. And wherever God finds sin, you're dealing with his righteousness. And if I, as a child of God, do not confess my sins to my Father, then he proceeds to chasten me. As Hebrews chapter 12 says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now nobody likes to be chastised, but it's for a purpose to produce holiness. So I say to you, how often shall I expect, or how often shall I come and confess my sins to my Father when my fellowship is broken? As often as I sin. Now he takes up this question. If your brother trespass against you, what shall I do? Rebuke him for what he's doing. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he does it seven times in one day, you forgive him. And the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. You're asking the impossible. Do you mean to tell me, Lord, that you want me to forgive him every time? Every time he sins against me? You remember one time in our Lord's ministry, Peter says to the Lord, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? Seven times? And the Lord, you remember, answered the question by saying, seven times? Yes, 70 times seven. We are always to have a forgiving spirit. But he said, that's supernatural. That's right. That's what the disciples said in verse 5. Lord, increase our faith. How often am I to forgive? Even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave me, I'm to forgive my brother. You know, one time in the Sunday school, the lesson was on forgiveness. And after the Sunday school was over, one of the teachers came to me and said, "Dr. Mitchell, I have a question." He said, "I have a boys' class in Sunday school." I said, "Yes, I know. And we're dealing with this question of forgiveness. And I told the boys that they should forgive their brother not only 7 times, but 70 times 7. And one little fella piped up and said, "But teacher, what shall I do when I have forgiven my brother 490 times? He says, "What would you have answered him?" I would have said to the fellow, "Listen, fellow, when you forgive your brother 490 times, you come to me and I'll tell you what to do next." You're on pretty safe ground, you know. May I just suggest this? Under the law, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The Pharisees said in our Lord's day, "We'll forgive a man twice." But dear Peter, who had been spending a few months with the Lord, said, "Lord, I'll even go 7 times. My, what a change." I wonder sometime if we Christians have even come up to the standard of Peter. Peter says, "I'll forgive a man 7 times. Bless his heart. You know what you and I oftentimes say? And we pat ourselves on the back when we do it. We say to somebody who's wronged us or done something against us, we say, "Well, brother, I'll forgive you this time. But boy, don't you ever let it happen again. And I won't forget what you've done." Ah, how different it is to God. We used to sing a little song one time, "When God forgives, He forgets. When God forgives, He forgets. No more He remembers our sins. When God forgives, He forgets." And you remember the book of Hebrews, chapters 8 and 10 tell us that. "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever." And if I say that I love the Savior, that I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God, and I'm down here to do a job for God, and every Christian is, that's why he leaves us down here, my attitude to those who wrong us is to be one of forgiveness. I'm not going to excuse the thing they've done, but I'm to forgive them. And you know, you might win your brother that way too. It's so easy, to retaliate. In fact, oftentimes we retaliate without even thinking. That just seems to be the normal reaction of most of us. When something happens, we retaliate instead of forgiving. So Jesus said, if somebody wrongs you, and they come, and they repent, they confess, and they repent, you forgive them. And if they do something to you 7 times in one day, and they come and say to you, "I repent, I'm sorry I've done that," you forgive them. Now maybe you're like the disciples, which we'll take up in our next lesson. In verses 5 to 6, the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, 'Be you plucked up by the root, and be you planted in the sea,' and it shall obey you." So he takes up, notice, increase our faith is connected with forgiveness. Or putting it this way, and I'll repeat it when I come to my next lesson, as if the disciples were saying, "Lord, you're asking the impossible. It's just out of reason. I'll forgive a man once, or I may forgive him twice. But Lord, 7 times in one day, you're just asking too much of us. Increase our faith." And then the Lord answers that question. Isn't that true with you and me? I tell you, my friend, the Christian life is a supernatural life. A person who was not regenerated by the Spirit of God cannot live a Christian life. You may put a show on, but you can't live a genuine Christian life. Take this fact of forgiveness. Would you forgive a person 7 times in one day if they come to you and apologize and repent? You say, "Well, he mustn't mean it." The Lord didn't bring that up. He just said, if he comes, apologizes, repents of what he's done, you forgive him. Even if it's 7 times in one day, Fred, is it not true that that's the attitude the Lord practiced, just what he preached? Every time you and I as Christians sin, we ought to come right into the very presence of God and confess that sin. You remember Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us come with boldness to the throne of grace and there obtain mercy." Who needs mercy? Failing Christians. Failing Christians need mercy. And the Lord says, "Come with boldness to the throne of grace and there obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need." Provision has been made for you and for me, not only to walk in the presence of God, but to have that fellowship restored. And should I be speaking to an unsaved person today, may I say, friend, God wants you to accept His Son. And the moment you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Savior, you not only pass from death to life, but you are forgiven every one of your sins. Every one of your sins. My, what a wonderful thing. Being saved, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you accept the Savior today. And believer, manifest that forgiving spirit, will you? And the Lord bless you today for His name's sake.